Now the Bible says it like this, 1 Peter 4:10. Each of you has received a gift to use to serve yourself. Oh, that's not what it says. Each of you has received a gift to serve what? Others. Okay, look up here for a minute. The talents you've got, they're not for your benefit. Your talents were given to you to benefit the people sitting next to you.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Now, as we continue this series called Daring Faith, the Key to Miracles, you're going to learn how to have a bold, unshakable faith that gives you the courage to impact the world around you. Now, in just a few moments, we're going to tell you about how you can get a valuable resource that will help you live out an extraordinary life of faith. It's called the Daring Faith DVD and Study Kit by Pastor Rick Warren. You can find out more right now by going to PastorRick.com while you listen to today's message. And if you want, you can just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with the final part of a message called Daring to Commit.
The church is for everybody. It's a whole radical concept. Amazing grace for every race. And that's the second thing here, that if you become a follower of Jesus, you have to commit to that. You have to commit to that. Here's what the Bible says. 2 Corinthians 5. Now God has reconciled us to himself. That's salvation through Christ. And what happens after I'm saved? He's given us the ministry of reconciliation and the message of reconciliation. Do you think either of those are needed in the world today? Hello? Have you been watching the news this last week? If anybody needs reconciliation right now, we have so many divisions in our nation right now between gender, between races, between economic status. I mean, this last week there were riots in Baltimore and protests and riots in New York and other places. And Christians ought to be at the forefront saying, hey, there's one place where everybody's welcome no matter where they are from. It's the church. We should be the place showing love, showing fellowship. There's a book that came out a while back called If I'm So Successful, Why Do I Feel Like a Fake? And the book is actually about a well-known phenomenon. Psychologists know this. It's called the imposter phenomena. And the imposter phenomena says this. A lot of very successful people in life, they got wealth, they got power, they got good looks, they got you know, fame and all these kind of things. And yet inside, they feel empty. They feel hollow. They feel unfulfilled. And the title of the book is, If I'm So Successful, Why Do I Feel Like a Fake? And the reason why is, success was never meant to fully satisfy you. Success is not enough in life. You're taught from a little kid, if you get successful, you're going to be happy. No, not necessarily. You're certainly not going to be fulfilled because it's not enough to fulfill you. You remember when we did 40 Days of Purpose many years ago, I talked about the three levels of living. You can live at the survival level, you can live at the success level, or you can live at the significance level. Most of the world lives at the survival level. Now, in America, nobody actually lives at that level because even the poorest of our poor, we have a safety net here in America. The poorest of the poor in America, most of the world would love to have their problems because it would be a giant step up. Survival level means I don't know if I'm going to have a meal this evening. Survival level means I don't know if I'm ever going to have any more clothes than the ones on my back. Survival means, am I going to have a roof over my head tonight? Americans don't worry about that, generally. And so nobody is really living at the physical survival level in America. We have a lot of people living at the emotional survival level. If you feel stressed out all the time, if you hate your job, if you're just putting in your time, waiting for the weekend and dream of going to Tahiti, you're at survival level emotionally. Most of you are at the second level. You're at what's called the success level. Success means you've got enough money for options. So after the service today, if you want to go eat something, you can go buy it. It may just be McDonald's, but you have options. If you have any money in your pocket, any, if you have any money in a cup sitting at home, you're already in the top 5% wealthy in the world. You just need to realize that. According to the world, you're rich. So you're not at the survival level, you're at success level. Success means options. I can go to the movies, I can do what I want to watch, and the more you have, the more successful you are. But that doesn't fulfill. And the reason why was you were made for more than success, you were made for significance. And significance comes from giving my life away to something greater than myself. Now here's the fourth commitment. To experience significance in life, I must serve. I must serve with others in ministry. Ministry is just the word for doing good to other people. I must serve with others in ministry. Significance does not come from status. A lot of people think, you know, if I just have a little hood ornament on my car, then I'm significant. Or if I wear a certain kind of logo on my shirt or my dress, then I'm significant. Why do people wear things with brands on them? They're trying to let those brands make them significant. They think, I'm better because I'm wearing this brand. No, you're not. No, you're not. And so significance does not come from status. Significance does not come from your salary, because a lot of people make more than you do. Significance does not come from sex. You could go from one sexual partner to the next thinking that makes you significant. It does not. Significance comes from service. God wired the universe that we only feel significant about our lives when we give it away. You cannot be selfish and significant at the same time. Significance comes when you stop thinking about you and you start thinking about other people and you give your life away. Now, the Bible says it like this, 1 Peter 4:10. Each of you has received a gift to use to serve yourself. Oh, that's not what it says. Each of you has received a gift to serve what? Others. Okay, look up here for a minute. The talents you've got, they're not for your benefit. Your talents were given to you to benefit the people sitting next to you. And their talents were not given for their benefit. Their talents were given for the benefit of you. My talents, the talents that I've got, weren't given for my benefit. My talents were given to me for the benefit of you. And so we need each other. Your talents aren't meant for your benefit. We are given these gifts. We are shaped for significance. We have a whole class on this, class 301, shaped for significance. Ministry is the path to meaning, and service is the path to significance. You're not going to find it any other way. You're never going to feel good about you until you start giving your life away. Jesus said it like this, Mark 8, if you try to keep your life for yourself, you will lose it. But if you give your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will find true life. Now, God has a lot to say about serving. And he says we're supposed to do it in a special way. And here's the way, with others. We're to do it together. We're better together. You're not meant to serve God on your own, by yourself. You're meant to serve God on a team. You're meant to serve God in a family, in a small group, in a church. You're meant to serve God in relationship. Here's what the Bible says, Ecclesiastes 4. Two people are always better than one, because working together, he says, but they get more done. He says, we can accomplish more. They get more done by working together. If one falls down, the other can help him up. But it's bad for the person who's alone and falls, because there's nobody there to help. And if two lie down together, they can share the same blanket and stay warm. But a person all alone will not be warm. An enemy might defeat one person, but two together can defend themselves. And a rope that is woven of three braids, in other words, three is even better, three braids is hard to break. Now, there's a lot of truth in that passage, but let me just summarize it in three statements. Write these down. When we work together, number one, we maximize our impact. When we work together, we maximize our impact. So we get more done. Let me just say it this way. What you do with other people in this church will far outlast anything you do on your own. I guarantee it. You want to make an impact with your life? You want to make a world impact, global impact, historical impact? Do it with other people in this church. Because what this church is doing is far going to outlast anything else you do. What we do together will be far more significant than what we do individually. Far more significant than what we do individually. One drop of rain doesn't make any difference on a desert, but a million drops of rain can turn a desert into a garden. What you can do is not a lot. What I can do is not a lot, but together we make an impact. We maximize our impact. There's no such thing as an insignificant ministry. Jesus said, even if you say to a little kid, here, have a drink of water in Jesus' name. You give him a cup of cold water in Jesus' name. The Bible says that is significant ministry. You will be rewarded for it in eternity. It doesn't have to be flashy. It just has to be service. And so the person who is helping park all the cars in traffic ministry and the person who's passing out bulletins and the person who is watching and training kids and the person who is speaking right now, it's all significant. And not any is more significant than the other because it all has to be done. And the painters and the artists and the musicians and the accountants and the servers and all of the hospitality people, all of it matters. There's no insignificant ministry. I've taught you this before, but some of you may have not remembered it. The difference between prominence and significance. They're not the same. You can be famous and not significant. You can be significant and not famous. My nose is prominent. It just sticks out there. It gets to the door 2 days before the rest of my body gets there. There's nothing significant about my nose except that it's incredibly sexy. But outside of that, it's just a nose. Okay, it's just a nose. It's prominent, it's big, but it's not significant. I could lose my nose and live happily ever after. I don't need it to live. It's prominent, it's not significant. Inside me, there's a spleen, a liver, kidneys, heart, lungs. I've never seen them. So I just am assuming by faith that I have them. Okay, somebody tells me they're inside me. I've never seen them. They're not prominent, but they are significant because if I lost any of them, I'd die. And what you want in life is not prominence. What you want is significance, and we get that through service. And Jesus said this, Matthew 25, verse 40, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these, you did for me. Now, you know what that story is about? Jesus is saying there, one day you're going to stand before him in heaven. And God's going to say to you, you know what? Good job. Because when I was hungry, you fed me. And when I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. And when I was sick, you visited me. And when I was in prison, you visited me. And when I was naked, you gave me clothes. And you're going to say to God, oh, Lord, when did I do that? When did I feed you, clothe you, help you, serve you, and all that? And Jesus will say, when you did it to the least of these, you did it to me. Inasmuch as you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me. Now the fifth life commitment is the one that makes the eternal difference. This is the one that you'll be rewarded for over and over and over in eternity. And it is this, the fifth commitment. To make an eternal difference, I must join with others on mission. I must join with others on mission. God has a life mission for your life, and you can only do it in the context of with others. A life message and a life mission. God put you here to have a message to the world and a mission in the world. And you do that in context with others. Now, before Jesus goes back to heaven, he gives his last words. Last words of people are very important. And the last words of Jesus are called the Great Commission. I mentioned it earlier. It's Matthew 28. It's there on your outline. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to do everything I have commanded you, and surely I will be with you. Now, follow me on this. God has a purpose for all of history, and God has a purpose for your life. Why would God give you a purpose for your life totally unconnected to his purpose for history? He wouldn't. That would be illogical. So somehow the purpose for your life is connected to his purpose for history. And what is God's purpose for history? He's building a family. It's the whole reason there's a universe. It's the whole reason there's an earth. God wanted a family. On earth, that family is called the church. It's also called the kingdom of God. And when everybody has come into that family that God knows is going to say yes, has made the choice to love him back, then this period of history will be over. We go into phase two, which is eternity. And so somehow God says, I want your purpose in life to be a part of my big purpose, which is taking the good news to everybody else. The whole reason we have Saddleback Church is the Great Commission. I started this church because of that verse. The whole reason we have the peace plan is because of the Great Commission. It's all about not just loving Christ, loving his family, growing in Christ, serving Christ. It's also about sharing Christ, taking the good news. And it's the best news in the world. Past forgiven, purpose for living, home in heaven. Where else are you going to get that? Nowhere. It's the best news in the world. Now, I know that some of you have been struggling. Some of you have even been fearful. As we've talked about the offering coming up in a couple weeks, you go, man, a 36-month commitment, a financial commitment, it just makes you nervous, makes you fearful. Okay, if you're feeling that way, forget it. Just drop it, because that's not your real problem. If you're nervous about your financial commitment in Daring Faith, you missed the point. The real problem is not that. The real problem is you've never settled these five commitments. Because if you had, time and money are the least of your worries. If you say, God, I've totally given you my life, that means I've given you my past, my present, my future, my money, my time, my talent. It means it all belongs to him. And if I'm struggling with holding something back, it means I haven't ever made these big commitments, the five commitments. That's the real issue. Will I trust God in these five big issues of my life? You settle that one, everything else gets easy. In the Bible, Paul talks about a group of Christians in a part of Greece called Macedonia. Macedonia is where Alexander the Great came from. And the church at Macedonia, Paul was there, helped them start a church, and they were going through a very strong famine. There was a drought, and the place was incredibly poor, and they barely had enough food to feed themselves. It was a very, very poor, poverty-stricken church in Macedonia. And yet then the people in the church of Macedonia heard about the tough times that the church at Jerusalem was going through, and they were having a famine, and not on top of that, they were having persecution. And so the people who were in abject poverty themselves in Macedonia took up a generous offering and sent it to Jerusalem. And Paul, in the Bible, brags on the Macedonian Christian. He goes, I don't believe these guys. They're unbelievable. It goes, out of their deep poverty welled up great generosity. He said, they gave more than they were able. He said, they were able to give more than they could afford. They were poor themselves. They were destitute. And yet they're taking up an offering to help poor people in another place. And he goes, let me explain to you why they were able to do that. It's the next verse. 2 Corinthians 8:5. They gave beyond their ability, far more than they could afford, because they're not giving by reason, but by revelation. And what explains this generosity in the middle of all their poverty, what explains it was that they had first given themselves unreservedly to God. That's the very first verse we read today. The other giving simply flowed out of the purposes of God working in their lives. In other words, if you settle the first issue, does my life really belong to God? The second issue is really easy. Do I trust God?
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Now, if you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions we didn't have time for today, simply go to PastorRick.com to listen again, to find out more about this ministry, and to sign up for Rick's free daily email devotional. Rick's going to be back in just a moment with a final word of encouragement, so please stay with us. Now, if you'd like to step out of an ordinary existence and into a life of extraordinary faith, then you're going to want to order the Daring Faith DVD and Study Kit by Pastor Rick Warren. Here's Rick to tell you more.
How'd you like to have a bold, unshakable faith that gives you the courage to make the changes you've always wanted to see in your life, your work, your family, and in the world? That's not a dream.
That's exactly what God wants to do in your life. He wants you to learn to live by daring faith. The Bible says, according to your faith, it will be done unto you. Now, to help you develop that kind of faith, I put together a Daring Faith study kit, and it includes a DVD, and it includes a workbook. Now, there's 6 sessions in the Daring Faith study kit, and it'll teach you these 6 things: how to build a life of faith, how to expect the best from God, how to stretch your imagination in order to see what God wants to do in your life, to expand your vision, how to have the courage to take the initiative with your faith, how to face your fears with bold faith, and how to believe and what to do while you're waiting on God. You cannot afford to miss this series. It was one of the most important series I've ever done at Saddleback Church. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians 3:12, because of our faith in Him, we dare to have boldness and courage and confidence in coming to God with freedom and without fear. I want you to have that boldness, that courage, and that confidence when you come to God in prayer. I want you to come to Him without fear and come to Him in freedom. God will use this Daring Faith study kit just like He used it in the lives of tens of thousands of other people. He'll use it in your life if you'll trust Him in all things. So get this kit today and join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
Today, when you support this ministry with a financial gift, we'll send you a copy of the Daring Faith Study Kit, a 6-session DVD and workbook, as our way of saying thanks. Go to PastorRick.com to get your copy of this great resource. That's PastorRick.com. Or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.